Coming up on Inside the Green Room, we get a bounce back win in Boston, COVID concerns come across the league, some mean tweets, and why does one of my teammates keep messing with me?
Welcome to a new episode of Inside the Green Room. I'm Harrison Sanford, joined by three-time NBA champion and NCAA champion Danny Green. We're going to talk about a lot of things on this show, from NBA fights to Danny reading mean tweets. What is he going to do about his ring ceremony in Toronto and so much more. But first and foremost, a win over what I would think are the Sixers' most hated fan base, the Boston Celtics, on Monday night. Danny, you guys lost three before that, but got the big win at TD Garden. I believe that's the name over there in Boston now. Boston Garden.
Yeah, you know, everything changes. All the arenas change now. But the garden stays the same. The garden's old and it's been there for a while. But yeah, it was a big win, desperately needed win, you know, to stay above water while guys are out, hurt, COVID, injuries, so many different reasons. But yeah, we needed it, man. We came together as a group. Joel carried us. Seth and Tobias were amazing on offensive end of the floor for us. Matisse was great defensively. You know, we, on all our guys that came in, the guys that new guys that we signed stepped up. They did a great job of, you know, just, you know, keeping that energy up and keeping us afloat. So, it's a little stretch now where things are getting rough and edgy COVID wise for a lot of teams. And the teams that don't quit are the ones going to kind of stay above water. So we have to try to, you know, rack up some wins while we can, even though we're not healthy. Every team's not healthy. So it's a lot of fair fights out there right now, even though some of the stars are down.
Yeah, I guess that has to be the mindset of the teams going, of your team going forward, because with the way COVID is going, and we'll talk about that in a bit, the way COVID is going, you just got to try and rack up wins as many as you can, because teams are picking up guys from the G League or coming off the couch. I know you just saw former teammate CJ Miles was on the Boston Celtics for Monday night's game. So you look at a stretch here, you guys have Atlanta Thursday, at Washington, at Toronto, at Brooklyn, at then home for Houston. From an actual gameplay standpoint, what are you hoping to accomplish in those games outside of, you know, just being healthy?
Yeah, me, I'm just trying to stay healthy, but at the same point, let's try to win and be more efficient, get our legs back. A lot of us are playing a lot of minutes. So just trying to, you know, we have some days in between. Luckily, this part of schedule is a little lighter for us. We have some days in between to rest for some of these games. But you said trying to get our legs back, trying to be more efficient. For me personally, individually, you know, get back to shooting at a higher clip and defending at a high clip. So me and Matisse are going to try to cause havoc as much as we can defensively. This is the most we ever shared the court together as a tandem, even though it's not that much. But, yeah, we're going to try to, you know, so cause havoc out there when we can.
Yeah, no, I think the combination of you and Matisse could definitely cause some problems. Who is causing problems? One, Joel Embiid, 41 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, just an absolute monster. One thing, Danny, that he's doing this year that he did last year, but now it's even more prolific, he is leading the NBA in clutch scoring. I think it's about over 6 points a game in clutch moments. When you feel the game come down to the very end, can you describe what it's like? Because you've played with clutch players before, but can you describe what it's like to give the ball to a 7-foot center who could not only post up, hit a fadeaway, or hit a step back, but hit a step back, hit a three-pointer? Like, dude is an absolute unicorn, but in the sense that not only can he score with force, he can score with touch as well. I wonder what that's like, because you've never seen anything like it. At least as your teammate.
Like you said, he's a unicorn, man. And you can tell when he's locked in and about to impose his will, because he has the touch of, you know, a guard, can shoot the ball from anywhere on the floor and make a three, like, you know, very capable from 3-point land, but shooting step backs, pull up mid ranges, and can, you know, impose his power to the paint and get to the rim whenever he wants to. He's a tough cover. So teams are throwing doubles at him, but during that time, you know, he's stepping his focus up and making sure he's getting the job done for us. He's getting baskets, not only getting baskets, but putting other team in foul trouble. You can't do nothing but foul him. So, you know, Cantor was having a great game until he started, you know, getting him in some foul trouble and almost got him out the game. But, you know, he had to play a little bit soft. He couldn't keep fouling. He had to, you know, guard him differently because of he had 5 fouls. So they had to double him. But even with the double teams, he's 7 feet shooting over double teams, got the touch. And when he's rolling, man, there's no stopping him.
Yeah, he's a monster. It reminds me of how AD was playing in the bubble with the shooting prowess that Joel is showing, but also he's doing it with like Joel Embiid level of force where he's just bodying people. It's truly a lot of fun to watch. And you could really see him now getting over the COVID issues that he had not too long ago where he had to miss a set of games. And that brings me to the newest topic or our latest topic that I really don't want to talk about, but we have to. COVID-19 going rampaging through the league once again. Adam Silver talked publicly on Tuesday. The league is considering now some new potential protocols where maybe one, players can come back within earlier of 10 days. Right now, you have to be 10 days of health and safety protocols if you test positive. And then there's also the possibility, which is going to be very controversial, but the NFL is doing it, where the NBA might not test an individual that is vaccinated as long as they're not showing symptoms, almost as a way to say, we've gotten so far in this pandemic. There are vaccines out. There's booster shots available. There's nothing else that can potentially be done to stop, to handle what we're doing as, outside of shutting down the league, which is just not, I don't think, a financially feasible thing for a lot of people involved in the NBA and just in sports and entertainment in general. So it's almost as if you have to kind of live with this new world that we end in. COVID's just going to be a thing that you have to embrace. Thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts, man. Especially since seeing a lot of my guys go through it. Some guys getting sick and not having COVID, but can't play. But some guys that feel fine and have COVID, it's a weird thing. But, you know, we're coming down to it where some or not teams, but some leagues are shutting down or putting on pause. And, you know, we don't want to do that. It's going to be tough for us to start back up if we do that. So we're figuring out, you know, do we mandate this thing? Do we make sure this happens? Do we change more testing? How do we go about it? So a lot of things up in there, a lot of things are in question. But for the most part, I said, we're not at leisure to be able to put a postpone up or stop at this point. I said, money-wise, it's always, end of the day, it's always a money thing when it comes to TV deals or league deals or even individuals as guys. So to sit out, we've seen lockouts would happen during that time. We've seen where, you know, postpones has happened or bubble or, you know, putting a stop to certain times in the league have done to players. You know, so it's just not ideal for anybody. So right now, I guess just up in there trying to figure out, seeing how we approach it, attack it the right way, and that we all can agree on it and vote on it. But we're going to try to find the best way to presume, you know, safely. Yeah, keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. You guys got 97% of the league is vaccinated. I think about 65% of the league has the booster shot. Again, it feels weird to say it, but you almost have to just kind of continue to play, you know, continue on. I mean, I don't know if there's, I don't think we've seen that there's no vaccine that's actually going to stop this, you know, virus from having different mutations. It's almost as if it is what it is. As long as you could take the vaccine, take your booster shot and stop yourself personally from getting these rash symptoms or harsh symptoms, then I think it's almost as one of those things where you kind of keep going. It's unfortunate that we've gotten here, but it is the reality of the situation. 97% of the league is vaccinated, though. There is a guy by the name of Kyrie Irving who now apparently will play for the Nets, and I'm sure that'll be another story for another day for another podcast when we do one next week. But it's been kind of hectic for sure. So wish everybody stays safe during this holiday season. I know there's a lot of travel, but if you can get vaccinated, if you can get the booster shot, please get it done. I, for one, just got over a bout of COVID and it was not fun. I wish I got my booster shot in time, but I was vaccinated. So it is what
it is.
Glad
you're good, man. We're glad you're safe, man. And still with us, Harry.
No, that joint was rough.
It was rough for a lot of people.
Be safe. When we come back with Inside the Green, we want to talk about one of Danny's more popular teammates, the one that doesn't wear number 25 on his jersey. Be right back.
Hey, everyone. Lindsay Rhodes here. And if you love football, you're going to love my podcast, The NFL Roadshow. With episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we cover every NFL angle and talk to guests from across the NFL world, Hall of Famers, analytics nerds, and I say that lovingly as someone who wants to be an analytics nerd very badly, fantasy football experts, all of it. They're discussions you're not going to find anywhere else. So please, subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
Back with more Inside the Green Room. Danny Green, Harrison Sanford. Last episode, we talked about Danny's popular teammate, Benjamin Simmons, the player who has filled in part of his role, at least, is Tyrese Maxey, the second-year guard from Kentucky playing for the 76ers, has had a strong season. Danny, you've been a part of that, watching his growth. Just last year, he was starting in playoff games, and now he's the full-time starter, at least for now, for the 76ers. What has it been like being his? Well, you're not just his, you're like the team vet. But sure. What's the experience been like watching him kind of grow into this role?
It's been fun, man. It's been great to watch, you know, his potential and actually see him grow within each game. From last year, from not playing at all, really, to, you know, being our starting point guard and being a big, huge piece and factor for our success. And also that he's just how well he is as a kid. You know, he's a great kid, not just as a player, but off the court, he asks questions about life. You know, how do you guys do this? How does this work? But even on the court, and he is very receptive to criticism. He's very receptive to everything. So he's made it easy to be a vet on this team for me. I know you were about to ask about my vets. You know, I had some vets. I was a good listener, a good learner. I don't know if I was as positive as Tyrese, also because I wasn't playing as much as Tyrese when I was that age. It took me a little longer to get there. But I've been fortunate enough to have some great vets as well to teach me a lot. But in the old school days, there wasn't that much talking. You know, they didn't really care to bring you aside or talk to you or teach you every day a lesson. Like, you had to learn on your own. And it was so much competitiveness, not just with the other team, but within your own team. So They don't want you taking their spot. You know, that another this may not happen. They don't want you, let's say they don't want to see you succeed. They obviously want you to help win with the team, but they don't want you taking their minutes or taking their contract or, you know, et cetera. So, But in San Antonio, wasn't like that. Everybody was bigger for the group, and they, you know, welcomed everybody as a family and wanted to see you do well regardless, and didn't care about minutes or this. All they cared about was winning. So a lot of my time in San Antonio is where it groomed me and where my vets not only taught me by words, but by their actions of how to be a professional. So, you know, Manu was very intricate in that. And so was Timmy. Tony was too, but he didn't communicate as much. Timmy communicated a lot more than people, you know, expected. People thought Timmy was quiet. He's quiet to the media, he didn't care, but he talked to us a lot. Manu was my position, so I learned a lot from Manu because of, you know, what he did. He was in front of me, so I got to see what he did. Even though he wasn't known as a defensive player, he was very sneaky with how he got steals and got in the passing lanes or snuck around people, and also his vision on the court. His vision was, you know, one of a kind of how he used to find people and risky, throw risky passes and get them through. But so just following those two guys and listening to them and them communicating to me and watching how their actions were as a professional taught me a lot about how to make it in this league. And said, I've been fortunate enough to have them. Tyrese, hopefully I can give that to Tyrese and the other younger guys here so they have a long lasting career in this league. But he has a bright future ahead of him. He's talented enough to play in this league a very long time. And, you know, and then some.
Is there a message that you might remember from Manu? Is there like a
Manu and Timmy, they always
any directive that they might've given you that stuck with you?
I think there's one thing that has been lost since I was a kid, and it's not just in the NBA, but all over the world, that they didn't have to say, but how they acted. Act like you've been there before.
Mm.
And so many times they say the Spurs are boring. They never sell it. We celebrated, we had fun, but we didn't celebrate every basket. We didn't have to, you know, do a special dance, this, that, and other. Like, we didn't have to do it. We didn't act like it was our first time in the end zone. You know what I'm saying? Like, or first time hitting a shot. Their biggest thing was, you know, stay even keel. Don't get too high, don't get too low. Even when you're playing well, playing great, or you make a big time shot, they'll be excited, but you would never see Timmy, Manu, or Tony celebrate crazy, even when they may hit a game winning basket. They always ended pop, you know, act like you've been there. You know, there was no celebration with threes and things like that. You know, certain times you get hot, you have some fun, but you know, I think that's the thing that's been lost in today's society, not just with sports, but a lot of things. People celebrate, they have any reason to celebrate anything, and they go crazy. Everybody's got to find a way to flex, find a way to do this, do that. And, you know, to me, it's like old school thing is, you know, act like you've been there. And I've learned that from how they operate in those guys.
All right, just don't start hating on touchdown celebrations.
Hey, I love touchdown celebrations. I love to watch those. Those don't happen as often, you know, soccer goals. So that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Guys don't score. But when we score NBA baskets, there's 120 points a game, you know, 115 points happen. And a lot of guys score, I'm not saying it's easy to do, but a lot of guys score a lot of baskets. So, you know, you're going to score some, not every basket needs to be celebrated.
We'll be back with more Inside the Green Room with No Fun League, Danny Green. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Lindsay Rhodes here. And if you love football, you're going to love my podcast, The NFL Roadshow. With episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we cover every NFL angle and talk to guests from across the NFL world, Hall of Famers, analytics nerds, and I say that lovingly as someone who wants to be an analytics nerd very badly, fantasy football experts, all of it. They're discussions you're not going to find anywhere else. So please, subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
Back with more Inside the Green Room, Harrison Sanford. That's Danny Green. You know what we do every single show? We got to investigate why Danny Green is trending on Twitter. And always, when you play a nationally televised game, you obviously have a better chance to be trending in it. I don't know if it necessarily happened on Monday night, but your name did become popular for some unique reasons at the end of the game in your win versus the Boston Celtics. So why don't we just pull up?
Let's do it. What we got?
That's what some fans might say too. That's what some fans might say too. You want to go ahead and read this tweet for us?
Wait, what the hell just happened? How the hell is this not a foul? Tatum really wraps him up intentionally, fouled Danny Green. The refs did not call a foul and gave the ball to Boston. What is happening? That's exactly what was going through my mind when I was playing the game. But they were like, you already lost the ball. I was like, yeah, I understand that, but I could have went and got the ball. They're like, you had, the referee said, I don't think you had any chance of getting it. I said, he tackled me. How do you know that? We will never know. And he definitely did. And they got the ball back, which was extremely wild. And I mean, everybody else is like, yo, don't worry about it. We got you back. You got the steal. I don't get fouls, man. I only get free throws if we're in a bonus and somebody accidentally fouls me, as you can see.
I think you're under what? I think you're under 10 free throws for this season.
Yeah, bro. It's crazy.
Well, I will say this. As unbiased as I can be, I was upset that you just lost the ball. I was like, what?
That's what I was more upset about. That's why I didn't complain as much, because I was like, damn, I lost the ball. I realized he tackled me, but I'm like, yeah, what? And none of my teammates really was like upset about it. So I'm like, I guess I just lost that shit out of bounds really badly. But like, yo, this is wild. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, to your defense, it's not like it came from your possession. You stole the possession with the steal. Yes. So essentially it wiped itself out. You were just wiping time off the clock, which leads me to the next tweet that has to do with that possession as well. Can we cue that one up, please? From one Matt Higgins.
Okay, Matt Higgins. Danny Green literally does three things a game that makes you go, what the WTF. For sure. As a lot of times I'm trending because of the wild, stupid shit that happens to me or for me or against me or me just being me. And it looks wild sometimes, but it happens. You know, it's 82 game season and it just so happens on certain nights, not every night, but you're going to get 10 games a year where you're going to look crazy, or at least one or two plays throughout that game. You're going to look a little wild.
Yeah, it happened. But again, you saved time off the clock. So that's good. The Jason Tatum tackle was wild. But again, another tale in another nationally televised game featuring you. But I would say one of the more trending things that happened on Twitter most recently was a fight between two former athletes, one former NBA player, Deron Williams, and a former NFL player, Frank Gore, both legends in their own right, decided to get off the field of play in terms of football and basketball, and they decided to end up fighting each other. We can even look at some clips here. Danny, did you get to watch this fight? It was highly entertaining.
I didn't watch the whole fight. No, I saw some of the highlights, the clips. It was entertaining to say the least. Funny as hell. D Will took it back to the streets and went in wrestling mode. even though the commentator's like, it's not boxing, and you can see in his face, he's like, hey, as he punched him in the face and pushed him into the ropes, he's like, yeah, what are you doing? But he's like, nah, I'm gonna win this fight, pimp.
That was a pancake block right there.
Definitely threw him into the ropes and started decking him.
He
looked flustered. This is something, you know, I guess when you're older, you got to find whatever, you know. Darren was like, oh, I'll sit my old ass down, I'm not doing this no more. But
yeah, he definitely.
he tried it, man. You know, kudos to him. Kudos to the dude. All those guys that stepped in the ring. It's not easy to do that. You know, step into a profession you've never done before and fight and do it in front of thousands of people and, you know, millions of people watching on TV. It takes a lot of courage more than anything. And to get back up after getting knocked down and, you know, et cetera. So, you know, I'd salute those guys, but it said it's entertaining to say the least.
Nah, it was a lot of fun. That Jake Paul Tyron Woodley fight.
First of all, give me your thoughts on the Darren Williams Frank Gore fight, and then we'll go to the Jake Paul fight.
I thought it was entertaining. That's all I really want. I mean, at this point, split I'm not
decision.
Looking for
split
a
decision,
lead.
Right?
I'm not,
so.
Nah, split decision with Deron Williams getting the win. Like he won. Okay. Two of the three judges gave him the win.
Do you think that's
correct?
Listen,
I'm not looking for elite fighting here, elite boxing. I was looking for entertainment. I was entertained. Now the Woodley fight, it was bad boxing. The problem was they tried to portray that they were boxers or learned how to box. It was bad boxing, too much clinching. And even with the clinching, like you kind of, you know, boxers know that once you're clinching, that means let go. You don't start tagging people upside the head when you're clinching. Like that's just not that's not real. That's not boxing. It's
for
not
sure.
really technique. Well, so that was that was annoying. But the knockdown, I literally jumped out of my couch, all sick and everything. Literally jumped out of my couch.
Didn't expect it to come. Huh? Didn't expect it to happen.
Did not expect that to come. Hey man, I was all you asked for is to be entertained. I was entertained, and then Jake Paul had some bars at the end. He was just like, I think he said, just like a lumberjack, timber. Like he had bars at the end. Hey, listen, man,
you know he had all this
Saturday
set up,
night
man.
In this pandemic world, bro.
You know he had these
Saturday
lines set up.
Night.
I believe it, but I don't know. I saw the highlights. I didn't watch the fight. I said kudos to both those guys getting in the ring. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do those things. And I don't know, like I said, expecting better boxing from guys that don't box, you know, I wouldn't expect anything more from them. I mean, I didn't expect a clean knockout. You know, that just doesn't happen often. And even in professional boxing, like you don't get like a one shot, one hitter quitter type of knockout that clean. So when I first saw the clip, I didn't know what to believe. But, you know, it was entertaining. Like I said, I didn't watch it, you know, and live, so I didn't know how, you know, the rhythm of the fight was going. But when you watch just the clip of him knocking him out, it's like, you know, there's no way that, like, how does that happen? Like, this guy doesn't know how to box, or, you know, look like some funny business going on. So, but it was entertaining. You know, Jake Paul has got some entertaining statements, quotes, giving everybody Rolexes, and you're getting people get tattoos. He's probably gonna get another tattoo soon. But you know, he's internet trolling. He's good at what he does, and obviously he's a boxer now, so he's getting better at that. So we'll see who the next fighter is going to be and how that ends up going.
I know Le'Veon Bell wants to smoke. That is now apparently Danny believes in boxing conspiracies, Green. Before we go to our next and final segment. So the Deron Williams, Frank Gore fight had us thinking, Danny. You've been on the court for a while. You've seen very talented basketball players jump through the air and dunk on people. There's not really too many scraps in the NBA, but if there were to be a scrap, since you've played with a lot of guys, seen a lot of things, give me five players that could hold their own in a boxing ring.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to go with some retired guys first, and I'll do some on-the-court guys. The retired guys that I've seen, you know, throw hands with the quickness, you know, Metta World Peace, you know, Steven Jackson, Zach Randolph, Jermaine O'Neal.
I think those guys like honorary like NBA fight club, like,
you know, that,
board members.
There you go. And you know, a lot of the retired guys are doing it now. So, you know, you're going to throw guys in there. Even Timmy, I saw Timmy box. Timmy is very good at boxing with his hands. Obviously does some kickboxing and stuff like that. Guys that are still
Would Timmy ever do like kickboxing? No. Like when would you see him?
He would do it in the gym. He wouldn't do it publicly. I thought you were about to ask me, would he ever do a fight like that publicly? No, I don't see him ever doing that. But he did box when we would be in the gym. We have guys come in. We use the gloves and mitts. And I'm sure he does some at home. They showed some highlights of him with some footage of him doing like some kickboxing, you know, I think at his home. So, yeah, he does it in his spare time. He learns how to, you know, he does paintballing, shooting guns. Like he does all those things. He has a lot of different hobbies, cars that he does on his own. I think he's prepared for if the world ever ends or if there are ever zombies that walk the earth. Like he's ready. He's one of those guys you want to be with if, you know, that happens, you know, if Walking Dead happens or, you know, something crazy happens. He's a guy I want to be around. So he'll survival mode. He learns how to survive.
Apocalypse, all first team, all apocalypse, apocalypse team.
Tim D, Duncan. Right there. There you go. And guys that are still playing today that I would say could fight, or I think could fight. I don't know. I would just throw them out there and would say it'd be entertaining. James Johnson, we do know he can fight. Everybody knows that he's capable of fighting. I said, I don't know if he can fight, but I think it'd be entertaining to see. Big boy, the way he was going after in that Detroit Lakers game, Isaiah Stewart. I think a lot of people would like to see what he got with the hands. Udonis Haslam, OG, Jimmy Butler. You know, I think, you know, he's a tough knitted guy that people would like to think, you know, could fight.
I have contrary evidence. I will not put him on my team only because I still have vivid memory of him singing that. What's that? 1,000 Miles song on the.
I hear you, man. But you can't jump. Like,
come on, I can't. I'm not saying that he can't, but I think people believe.
For sure. Some people sell good Wolf tickets. I don't know, but I think that people look at him as a gritty guy that would know how to fight, but we never know. I do know that the Twins could fight, even though, you know, that didn't go down. Markieff and Marcus Morris, Mook, I know they box. They kind of grew up in that. A lot of Philly guys grew up with that in their blood. So I would definitely like to see them in the ring. I know they can hold their own. And of course, some of the stars, guys would love to see. Obviously, we've seen Rondo in his offseason do some of the stuff. But, you know, the bigger name guys, the bigger body guys, you might want to see, like Steven Adams, or, you know, even people want to see Braun. You know, but the guys that, you know, people don't know about, the guys that I just listed. So if they were ever to retire or if they were to start boxing, I think those guys can hold their own.
Morris Twins, Jimmy Butler, Isaiah Stewart, Udonis Haslam, James Johnson, all NBA scrap team, according to Danny Green.
There you go.
We'll be back. We'll be back with more Inside the Green Room.
Hi, everyone. This is Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback Doug Flutie. I'm excited to tell you that my podcast, the Flutie Flakes Cast, is back for the entire football season. I may have played like 21 years of professional football in 3 different leagues, but I'm still just a big kid, and I absolutely love this game. Every week, we'll talk about the topics I care about and bring on super fun guests. So please subscribe today, wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app. Include it with most subscriptions.
As of this recording, it has been 922 days since Danny has received his championship ring from the Toronto Raptors. Well, I guess you weren't going to get it right after you won, but that is when they won the NBA title, and he has not seen that nice, splendid ring since then. Danny, you are about to play the Raptors next Tuesday, December 28th. Mm-hmm. There has been major discussion, and people are looking forward to you getting your ring in Ontario. A good time for the fans there kind of re-celebrate what happened. However, with everything that's going on, I think you and I have been having a discussion about potentially pushing it even further.
Yeah, man, it kind of sucks. Because at one point I was just like, man, I just need to just get it. Like, I was ready to get it in Tampa. But then I was like, we waited this long. They didn't have it there. Let's do it the right way. And seemed like this was going to be the year, the opportunity to get it done the right way. Obviously, this new variant came along. Canada's kind of shutting things back down a little bit. 50% capacity in the arena. A lot of friends and family are getting COVID. A lot of them will get stuck at the border or get stuck in Canada if they do go. Wifey, we have a lot of different things, her and her family. So a lot of people that I wanted to be there to support aren't going to be able to go. A lot of fans won't be able to attend. So, you know, we kind of, I would say, did a poll. We asked around and see, you know, and talk to them how they want to do things and if they would postpone it. And they said, yeah, they would. And it kind of makes sense. Hopefully I'm still in the Sixers at that time. We go back in April. Hopefully things will slow down at that point. The weather will be better. People can get in and out of the country a little better, and everybody can be there to support me. So I think after doing a short poll of not with the fans, we should have done with the fans, but after doing a short poll with the friends and family, we decided to postpone it, push it back and do it the right way, wait a little longer. Even though I said I really would like to get this, I wouldn't say get it over with, I shouldn't say it that way, but I would like to get my ring and I would like to have this done, you know, now, but if we're going to do it right, we waited this long. 900 plus days, you know, a couple extra months, I think won't hurt anybody. So, you know, hopefully it'll be everything that's what the wait will be worth a while once we get it done the right way when it comes to April, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. And I
don't know if I said that correctly. Bad English, but yeah.
I'm definitely on board with that. I think I know you and I and Amjad, we were planning on doing a live show that got bodied. It's going to be hard to get. It's not necessarily hard to get over the border if you're COVID negative, but then, you know, likelihood that you can get stuck there if you do end up testing positive and not be able to really enjoy it. And as I've said, I hope you win 3 more rings. But if this happens to be your last one, then you might as well celebrate it right. With that being said, for sure, it had people thinking, and you brought it up, like, you might not be with the Sixers. You might not. And if that happens, you don't know when you're going to get it. So it had some Raptors fans thinking just how you would be or how old you might be by the time that you finally get your ring in Toronto. So there's a tweet that displays what you might look like when the ring finally comes in. Cliff, you got us?
My guy, Lionel. Long lost pops, man. I might be that old, who knows, bro, but I'm hoping that things go as planned and we get it done within 2022. But you know, said I'm not the type, I really don't care to be celebrated like that, but I think more so this is for like the friends and family to be able to celebrate me the right way, and they want me to enjoy it because they know looking back when I'm that old that I'll regret not having the proper rings. We didn't have a parade in LA. We didn't have a ring ceremony, like the proper stadium or ring ceremony in LA with the fans. So I missed out on that one. The only one I did get to have was in San Antonio, and that was some time ago. So out of 3 rings, I've only got to celebrate one. They know that when I get to that age, I'm looking back on it, I would probably regret it a little bit, not doing it the right way. So they convinced me. You guys convinced me. I'm going to take my time and actually allow myself to be celebrated for this. Hopefully the right way. I don't really care to be celebrated that way, but you know, I know the fans will enjoy it and hopefully they'll appreciate it. I will appreciate it, of course. But yeah, hopefully it'll works out smoothly. We have it in April, it'll be fun, but we don't have no idea what's going to happen, how old I'll be when it's all said and done.
Indeed. Yeah. 20 years from now, I think you'll be thankful and you'll be happy that you made this decision. Before we get out of here, speaking of rings, there was a little ceremony that happened in Utah recently, in the middle of dance routine from the Utah Jazz cheerleaders. I guess this woman's fiance, I guess now, made a nice little proposal. I don't know if you've seen video of that yet, but where would you rank it? I know you could probably see it now. Where would you rank it on elite proposals that you've seen that gone viral?
Oh, man. I've seen some pretty elite proposals, man. I do like the proposals at an NBA game. I do like it at a sports game, especially if it means a lot to that person. If that person's a sports fan, or if it's like some anger management thing and they're scared of proposing in front of people. You know, when Adam Sandler was, you know, too scared to kiss her in public, and, you know, it's big for him to do anything in public. So for him to propose in front of, you know, 20,000, 30,000 people, I think that's pretty dope. So I don't know their background, but I do think her having no idea of what's going on, her dancers around her doing a dance that she has no idea what's going on, and her husband, her fiance now, comes out and surprises her, it's up there. It's pretty dope. I think it's in the, I would say, you know, top 10, top 15, you know, proposals. But I said I've seen some pretty dope proposals, man. And yeah, this one is a good one.
For sure. Congratulations to them. I, for one, don't have any proposals on deck, but I still don't know if I could be doing that in a public forum. So shout out to them for the boldness, and shout out to everybody who's been listening and following the podcast Inside the Green Room. That's Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. We'll come back next week. And also shout out to Danny and Blair. Their wedding was most recently featured in Inside Weddings magazine. So in the spirit of that couple who just got engaged in front of the entirety of the Utah Jazz fans, that's pretty cool.
Get your big shout out to everybody. Yeah, get the Inside Weddings magazine. Big shout out to Yaz and her team. They did a wonderful job. Everybody that showed up, showed much love, made the magazine happen. It was great. She's on the cover, you know, a beautiful wife. So congratulations to her. But thank you guys. Thank everybody that made that, you know, possible, make it happen. So big shout out to all the Team Green people and Yaz and her people.
Read Raid almost got that. Subscribe, wrong. Read review. Raid, subscribe, review. See you next time.
XM Podcasts.